I had a lot of people, my own friends, telling me, "Hey, Tiago, now what are you going to do? You're not going to go do these crazy adventures anymore because now you're a father." And in the back of my mind was, "No, I will go on more adventures now because now I'm a father. I want to show my kids this beauty of this planet and nature and show them what's out there."
Deep, I am so excited to hear about your conversation with Tiago today. So can you just give me a little bit of backstory about why you had this conversation with him and what our listeners can expect today?
Yes, if I missed you on this conversation, you would have loved it. Tiago is a personal inspiration. I've known him for years, but we've never met. When I was traveling through Brazil and was on a crazy adventure trip on my own, I chanced upon Tiago's videos. He was doing a travel documentary and he was living in the States, but you could find him everywhere in Asia, I would say, or in Mexico, and deep diving, sea diving, doing crazy skydives. And he had a great storytelling ability that attracted me to his videos. So I followed him for years. And my travel suddenly stopped after I had my kid. But I looked up Tiago's videos recently and he was still going on. So he has three kids and he manages to take them to, you know, wild camps just by themselves, catch rabbits and swim with the dolphins. And I just wanted to have a talk with him to find out how he manages to do that. So here we are.
Oh, that's so awesome. First of all, I can't wait to hear what he has to say, and I'm excited to do a recap with you afterwards. And I absolutely expect, since he is just an internet friend of yours now, that the next time we talk with Tiago, it's a group rerouting adventure with our own kids and our families.
Absolutely. I've invited him. He's going to be in Europe, and I think we're going to get a bunch of families together and go on a little fun adventure trip.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait. Let's hear it.
Let me tell all the people why I have you on this record. I think you are an absolute inspiration. I've followed you for many years. And the reason is because not only I love your sense of adventure, but how you've just bring this up for your family. You've got three kids, beautiful family, and you take them on these amazing adventurous journey that I can only dream of. And when I look at your videos on Facebook and Instagram, I am just awed. And every time I come out with tears in my eyes, it's just beautiful sense of adventure that I get from these videos. So thank you for coming on this. Where are you joining us from today?
I am in the city called El Paso in Texas, in the US. It's right in the border with Mexico. So we can cross the bridge and we can go have lunch in Mexico and then come back into the US. It's a very interesting city because it has both worlds here, the American way of life and the Mexican way of life.
And your family is also a combination of that sorts, right? So you've been living in America for
Absolutely. A while. My wife, Natalia, she was born and raised here in the border town in El Paso. Her parents are from Mexico. They immigrated back in the days. So her first language in her home growing up was Spanish. So our kids, we decided that Natalia would speak Spanish to the kids. And I, being from Brazil, I would speak Portuguese to the kids. So in the household, it's only Spanish and Portuguese allowed, no English allowed. Because when they go to school, they can learn English there. They go to an American school. So Kai, my oldest, is trilingual, English, wow. Spanish, and Portuguese.
Not very common in America.
We are very proud of it.
When I was tracking your videos, I saw 93 adventure videos that you did either solo or with your family, and I lost count after that. And these are little documentaries that you make of your trips with your family. Tell us a little bit more about this adventures. What kind of adventure trips do you do?
I started doing these videos about maybe 12 years ago, before my oldest kid, he's 9. So before he was born. And back then it was just me going on adventures, jumping off cliffs, jumping off airplanes, diving with sharks and with a little camera recording it. And telling the experience to my friends who live in different parts of the world, mainly Brazil. But the videos changed throughout the years. I became a father. I already talked about Kai, but then now there is Lucas and Luciana. I have three kids now. The videos now are more about doing adventures with the kids. It's less about me, Tiago, doing the crazy adventures and it's more about the kids, their experience in the outdoors. And the videos are all about outdoors. I take these three kids and I go camping and I spend 3-4 days out in the woods or out at camping at a beach with nobody around. And that's what I enjoy to do more now.
And if I had to pick one single video, it'll be so hard. There's so many, it's a treasure trove. You've got so much stuff going on. On one trip, you're catching rabbits and you're camping in the desert for 3 days, only with your boys. And they're not too old. Is this 5-year-old Kai? I don't know how you do that. And how I got to know you first was, I think you and I were in a similar position. That was back in 2011, 2012. I was traveling through Brazil and I was making these videos and I was connecting with a lot of people who were doing similar thing. And you were in the US doing exactly the same stuff. And my journey ended pretty quick after those adventure trips and I settled down, but you just keep going. It doesn't matter if you've got a family or not. You just seem to be having a lot of fun while doing that.
Yes, I would say that since I had the kids, since Kai was born, this video making thing got renewed, the urgency and the inspiration got renewed, because I don't think I can say I was running out of ideas of adventures to do about me. Okay, what else can I do now? I already jumped out of plane. I already did all of this stuff, but now what? I'm looking for my next adventure. And then the kids came along and I got a fresh new start because I thought, wow, I can do a repeat of the same adventures, but now with the kids. So my own feeling of, okay, let's go and do another, plan another one and go do another one. That feeling got refreshed, got renewed with the arrival of the kids. As with, I think for most people, it would just shut them down. I had a lot of people, my own friends telling me, hey, Tiago, now what are you going to do? You're not going to go do this crazy adventures anymore because now you're a father. And in the back of my mind was, no, I will go on more adventures now because now I'm a father. I want to show my kids this beauty of this planet and nature and show them what's out there. So since Kai was born, I think the first video that I actually edited and did something, maybe he was 3.5 years old. He's 9 years old now. And the next video we're going to do is next month. We try to do a video per month. We're going to go to number 100.
What is it going to be about?
It's going to be in Mexico. We're going to drive 11 hours to this fishing village in Mexico. In the adventures, we try to stay away from people, especially now during COVID. We try to seek adventures that are more raw and wild, less touristy. So there is this fishing village. I think it's developed now. It's called Rocky Point, Puerto Peñasco, in the northern end of Mexico. So we drive through Arizona and then into Mexico. That place is dear to my heart because I went to school in Arizona. From that beach to the place I was living in, Tucson, Arizona, it was only maybe a 3.5-hour car drive. Every chance I get, I try to go back there. So we fish, we catch crabs, we cook them, and that's what I like to do.
Where did this all originate from you? I know that you had a pretty outdoorsy upbringing. You grew up in Amazonas, and that's north of Brazil, near Belém. Is that correct?
I grew up in a city that is situated in the mouth of the Amazon River. It's in the delta, not the big, mighty river. It's a big city, over 2 million people. It's bigger than New York City. It has more tall buildings than New York City. If you Google Belém and you see the images of the skyline, you're going to go, wow, how come I never heard of this? Yes. Most people only heard about São Paulo or Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. But there are other big cities. So I'm a city boy. I lived in the city. My parents are zero nature. They're city folks. I don't think they ever went camping in their lives. But that wasn't me. For some reason, I really seeked the outdoors, not because I was influenced by them. I don't think so. I have an older brother. He's 3 years old. His name is Daniel. And he's similar to me. We really enjoyed this outdoor adventure stuff. So growing up in the city, every chance I got, I wanted to get out of the metropolis. I wanted to get out of the city. Belém is an interesting city because if you think of, let's say, New York City, the big concrete jungle, and if you get out of New York City, you can still be in another city. But in Belém, if you get out 1/2 hour from that big 2 million people city, you are in the middle of nowhere. is the jungle. If you fly out straight up to the city on an airplane, and you can see the edge of concrete, the edge of buildings, beyond that is just a carpet of green, just the jungle, just the Amazon. And on the other side of the river, if you cross the river, it's there. There are no concrete buildings. I call it an island of concrete in the middle of the Amazon. That's a description of Belém. So growing up as a kid, I wanted to explore nature. My friends were saying, hey, Tiago, there is a concert this coming weekend. Let's go. And I was thinking, no, I don't want to go to the concert. I want to hop on this villager's boat and go on a 12-hour trip into the Amazon and see what's there. So I was seeking adventures like this, growing up in this big city, but yet yearning for this nature adventure. So that was my growing up.
And now it makes me even more intrigued, knowing what I know about you growing up in a city. And I don't know where that comes from, the swimming with pink dolphins on one side, catching snakes with one hand, and swimming with sea lions and doing all the crazy stuff, skydiving. Where did that come from? Where did you find out, okay, that is where Tiago belongs?
So going back to growing up in that city, I was always looking for ways to get out, go explore. So when I turned 18, I decided I'm going to go get my pilot's license, my little airplane license. I took the local bus and I went to the little airport in my hometown where I knew they gave out these classes. Well, you paid for them. But then at 18, I was just starting college. I didn't have any money. So when they told me the cost of the classes, I got disappointed because I couldn't pay it. I was all sad. I was walking out of this flight school / small airplane area. And then I saw the sign caught my attention. It said skydiving school. I had never thought about skydiving, but to skydive, obviously you go on a little plane, and I wanted to be on a little plane. So I went in under the sign to the skydiving school. I asked about prices. And when they told me the prices, I said, yeah, I can do that. So I became a skydiver at 18. And I think the adventures went farther from there.
Let's go back to how you're bringing this sense of adventure back to kids. And earlier you talked about when you have kids, things change for most people. It didn't for you. I was in the first category of people as well. I remember clearly when I was in Chapada de Veadeiros in Brazil, sitting next to a beautiful waterfall, camping with my friend alone, and there was nobody else. And I could see the beautiful sky with stars, millions and zillions of stars. And I'm writing this journal at night, and this little insect comes and sits next to my pen when I'm writing. And as I'm writing, the thoughts come to my mind is that, oh God, I'm so thankful for this moment and this adventure that I've been doing by myself. The only thing that I can promise to you is that I'll take my son on tons of camping trips and all these adventures so that he grows up in nature. And that was just 8 years back. And as that happened, I just made a flip and I'm super scared to go out with him. We do camp. It's not that it's bad, but looking at the adventures that you've been on too with your kids is just a different sense. I want to know, how did you get started to that? What was your journey into getting Kai to his first adventure trips?
You mentioned you became a little scared once you became a father. I think mine was the reverse. Yeah, I was eager to take my kids, in that sense was Kai. Kai is the firstborn, to take him out and try to teach him and show him the things I liked doing as a kid. I liked fishing. So I wanted to take Kai on his first fishing adventure, you know, and I think he was 3.5 years old. So we were out there for, I think, 3 days camping. And he caught his first fish and I have a video to show. And I wanted to repeat the adventures that I did, but now with my kids, and have the pleasure to show them everything about the outdoors. Like the realization moment you had at the Chapadas, those Veadeiros, there with the little bug sitting by your pen. I never had this realization about, oh, when I have kids, I'm going to do this. It's kind of morphed into that, my own personal adventures into adventures with my kids.
It's beautiful to see how Kai has grown from his first adventure at 3.5, where you're teaching him how to fish, and now he narrates his own stories and he connects with
the Native American people as you connected in one of your trips. He's narrating the same story in his words of his trips. And he's talking about these island of skeleton that you told him about. And now he's visiting that and seeing those beautiful sights, swimming with sea lions, and has no fear of being in the open water whatsoever. I'm curious to know, even to take a kid that small, it's so frustrating. I would be like, okay, if you can't catch a fish, let me do it for you. How did you go through that frustration? How did you go through those little steps that you did in the beginning to make him very comfortable being connected with the wildlife?
I think I've been exposing him so much to this since he was little. That was never a question. Is he going to be afraid? For him, was just part of life. Okay. It's another 3-day adventure in the woods, messing with knives and cutting fish open. That has been his reality. And I'm glad for that, because you may know soon they are going to be teenagers and maybe they will not want to do these things anymore. But now I can control them. And now they still enjoy doing this.
Yeah.
So I have to capitalize on this. And with this video is deep, another reason why I do this is because I want them to remember. I want them to, 20 years from now, have something to look at, have those little adventures and see, oh, okay, I did all of this with my dad. That was cool. Maybe they don't appreciate it now. I don't know if Kai appreciates it now. Now he's preteen. And when I say, Kai, next month we're going to go to this island, 3 days, he says, oh, okay. There's no sense of, okay, let's go to the island for 3 days, because that's something we always do.
Yeah.
So what I see this going forward is that maybe he's not going to want to do this anymore when he's a teenager. I hope not. I hope I'm wrong. But for now, I can control them and continue to plan trips like that.
And tell me, how do you plan these trips? How many trips do you plan in a month? Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about this organization part and how do you see that?
I'm not that organized as far as only organization that goes into is, okay, I want to do one trip per month. I want to do one video per month. And then it morphs into, wow, okay, so November is coming. We have a chance to go to this place. And then I start planning from there. So as it approaches, then I'm just planning on my mind what I'm going to need. And now I'm planning the shots, what kind of shots I'm going to get with Kai and the other kids. Early in the days, I filmed everything because I had no idea what would come up from that. Now, before I go into these adventures, and that has been the last 3 or 4 years, I have a rough idea on the story that I want to tell. That's what I mean. And knowing the story, I have an idea of what kind of shots I'm going to take. People think I spend 24 hours of the strips just with a camera and a tripod just filming.
No, that's what I would
think. Very little filming because I already know. Let's say we go out fishing for 4 hours. And I know out of these 4 hours, I'll need maybe 5 shots to tell my story. Maybe Kai putting the bait on the hook. Maybe a shot of the fish getting out of the water. So 5 shots like this, I can do it in 10 minutes. And the rest of the 4 hours is truly enjoying the adventure. I'm not there 4 hours just doing video. I'm enjoying with my kids. That's the purpose.
Yeah. You
know, the video is secondary.
It's fantastic. Some of the shots that you have, it strikes that chord with me so much. Even the simplest thing, I think you were on a slope on the top of the mountain going on a first ski trip with him, or maybe second, and you're cooking your own pancake at the top of the mountain. And he says, "Dad, this is the best pancake I've ever had." It's these little moments that he captures, which is just mind-blowing. And I love that. And you have a very definite view on this topic of not exposing kids to iPads and apps and gadgets.
Yes.
And you're doing this with the purpose. You have a very strong message. Do you want to talk something about that as well?
Very strong. I used to do a hard message in my videos about no electronics whatsoever, pulling the ears off all the young parents out there that bombard their kids with electronics. I personally think that nowadays it's too easy just to put an iPad on your iPhone in the face of your two-year-old kid and have this kid be entertained for 2-3 hours. You know, so easy for the parents. And what kind of damage is this doing to the kid? My kids have no video games. Sometimes they play with my cell phone, my wife's cell phones. They don't have their own electronics. They don't have an iPad. They don't have an Xbox. They don't have any electronics. We have one TV in the household, and they're allowed to see once in a while, let's say a show on Netflix or a movie or something. But the TV is always off. So yeah, this is a household with very little electronics.
I know that you got a beautiful backyard, so I imagine your day is filled with lots of other stuff than the screen time.
We spend a lot of time in this backyard. We have built, about 4 years ago, we have built a chicken coop, and then we plant a lot. We have a small backyard. I like spending time outside there. Since this pandemic started, we're spending more time at home, of course. So now we built a pond, a fish pond. So that has been my new baby. It's taking care of this pond. The pond grew, and we have frogs, we have turtles, we have crawfish. If you don't know what crawfish is, you can Google. They're like mini lobsters. Of course, we have koi. And so we have a lot of things in that pond. And I like it because now it's attracting all this wildlife to the backyard. We see more birds. We see more dragonflies because the dragonfly, they like the water. So they come attracted for the water. And of course, that brings in more birds because they want to eat the dragonflies. So I love it. I love that stuff. I have water. I have lilies. I have plants that I grew up with in the Amazon. But now I live in the desert. So it's my little piece of the Amazon right here in my backyard in the desert in the U.S.
I was thinking about what makes kids just connect with nature and wildlife easily. And what's the difference is how you introduce them, these things to them in early on in their life. And what comes to my mind is this little Luciana. She's, I think, 3 or 4 months old in her jumpsuit, and you put her in your garden and little chicks are walking all around her, over her. And that this little beautiful video is, now she's going to grow as a kid, very comfortable with animals around. And she knows these little chickens flying around, and she gets that, right? That's awesome. I love that. Cool, Thiago. Hey, thank you for your time, and thanks for this, all the beautiful work that you do.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. If people want to follow your trail and see some of the amazing work, where should they find you?
Maybe Instagram. I try to put all the new videos, all the new postings on Instagram. Thiago_Bahia1029. I know it's a little complicated.
We'll put it in the show notes as well, and you'll have that. And we'll also put some links to some of the amazing videos that I personally liked, and I think people will enjoy it as well. Yeah.
Thanks, man. I really enjoy doing these videos. The videos are for the memories. I guess going back to that skydiving thing at 18, I always thought deep that I would die young because I always liked all these crazy adventures. So I said, for sure, I'm going to die young. So I might as well enjoy it and try to get as many adventures as I can. Now I'm 40. No, I just turned 41 years old last week. So now I'm 41 and I'm still going. And now I have three kids. But I still think whatever time I get now, it's a bonus. So I got to enjoy it. So therefore, I have to always keep going on adventures because I don't know when it's going to stop. That's the reason I do all these videos. What are we going to do next month? Okay, we have to do something next month because back in my mind, I'm thinking, man, I don't have much time left. But I thought this when I was 18. But I guess it works in a good way because it pushes me to go out there, to not watch TV, to go out and experience the nature, the world out there. And if I can take my kids and show them and have them experience, it's even more fuel for me to want to do more of those adventures, if that makes sense.
It does. And it's beautiful. I'm looking forward to you being here in Europe with your family and us going on a trip together sometime.
Okay, okay.
You'll have to teach me how to light a fire, though.
It's easier. Just use matches.
We live with that, man. I think some conveniences I'm not going to let go of. Hey, Thiago, thanks again, man. Have a beautiful time. And I'd love to see the next video coming up as well.
Thank you, Deep. It was a pleasure. And I hope to be here again.
So first of all, I don't know, I like to think of myself as adventurous. I've done a few things. I've gone skydiving, obviously not with Olive.
Have you?
I was in Hawaii. I did that in Hawaii. Went on an illegal hike called the Stairway to Heaven. And Olive certainly wasn't even of the age to go on those things with me yet. First of all, Deep, like, fill me in on your view on this? Because I've heard it a few times. I've heard you say, once you become a dad, that's it. So how was your mindset in all of this? Like, you were traveling jet set all over the world, going from place to place, and then Janosch enters. What was your kind of mental transition there?
What sticks with me for this particular conversation was really the mindset part, that Tiago was not afraid. He was taking this as an opportunity, being a father, to continue on his travels and just make it a bit more inclusive with his kids. We talked about how he changed his travel style, how he adapted it to his kids, but he never let go of that soul, which is the adventurous kind, which is the curious kind. And he instills that in his kids. And for me, I think what really happened is that when Janosch was born, I knew that I don't want to stop those journeys. But all that societal pressure and all those things creep in, and you just slowly and surely adapt yourself to that. And that becomes a new normal, your fatherhood, that you have to go on luxury holidays. You have to go on more secure and comfortable vacations. You keep extending that drive or pushing the drive away to be a bit more adventurous, that you soon lose that flexibility. You soon lose that muscle to be adventurous. So yeah, I think it took me a while to get back to it, but now we've started experimenting and going on little crazy trips, which are not as planned. We got stuck on the slopes of Poland in the middle of snow, and we had nowhere to go. Things happen, and kids are adaptable. So I think we should give them more credit for anything else.
Yeah, it took me a while to get to that point. To rewind, like, most people who listen to the show by now know that Olive was a NICU baby. And so when you go through that experience so early, so immediately, you tend to put them in a bubble because you're so afraid of everything. You're not just afraid of normal things, not like you're afraid of everything. And really, behind every corner lurks danger and potentially death. And so I was really protective of Olive for a long time. And when she got into these toddler years, one, I was probably so stressed. You're just unable to operate on that level of, like, watchdog constantly all day, every day before it eats away at you.
Yeah.
And this level of, like, fear and anxiety I was constantly at. But also, she was becoming a toddler and she was very physically advanced, like able to do things physically that kids her age weren't. And I saw all this and I thought, oh my God, she is not afraid. I'm afraid. I'm putting all this fear on her and I'm putting all these limitations on her. And she did not live to not really live. And so it was at that moment, and it was a really conscious decision. I decided to step back a little. And it started out so small. It was just on the playground, like letting her climb something without my hands behind her and letting her find her own floor and find her own limitations. And in the US, especially with the emergence of what we call helicopter parents, there's this idea in society that if anything happens to your child, like, it didn't need to happen. And if it did happen, it's basically your fault. Yeah. And the children in general are really losing this ability to find their own limits. And so that's where it started for me. But also, I was young. I was 22 when I had Olive, and I hadn't had all these traveling experiences, all these adventure experiences yet. Like, my life was also just beginning. And I wasn't really interested in just ditching all that. And also, I saw how capable she was. And yeah, you have to slow your pace down. You maybe have to be a little more prepared for things. But more than anything, you just have to learn to go with the flow. And children are, by definition, like, very malleable.
So what is one thing you take away as you could shift and change in your life listening to Tiago?
I think for me, it was a renewing sense that I took away from him. I tend to tell people, like, kids are so portable. You can take your kid really anywhere with you except, like, the bar, which actually in Germany, you can also take them to the bar. So really, no holds barred.
True.
No, but there's this idea that, oh, kids don't belong here and kids don't belong there. Kids are an extension of us. And the next part, like, they belong everywhere you are. You can take them everywhere you go. And just like you said, I think sometimes the circle of where you can go with them in your head shrinks. Yeah. But for me, it was just such a reminder that No, you can take them anywhere and they can learn how to do anything. They can learn with you how to fish, how to climb rocks, how to rappel. And when it comes to this like being afraid thing, I hear a lot of parents say, no, my kid's too scared. And if they are, like, that's fine. This isn't about bravery is doing like the stupid, dumb thing, like even when you're afraid. Like, it's not even like that. But the truth is kids tend to believe what you tell them. And so if you show them like it's safe within these parameters, it's safe to explore, it's like fun, that you actually can do it. Like, that's where we sometimes push Olive a little more, where we're telling her, no, you can. And once it's over, like, you're going to be so proud. And she went to a summer camp last year and to a climbing park. And she came home and told us, I was really scared to do it at first. But after I did it, it was so cool. I just wanted to again and again and again. And I feel once they have that experience a few times and they realize, okay, I know this feeling. I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to do it. And then it's going to be so fun. And I'm going to want to keep doing it over and over again.
Wonderful. Yeah. This whole experience of acknowledging that feeling and going with that and just having that stored in your memory, you can go back and access back again and again to renew your adventure self. I think more than the kids, even we need that. And that's why I love this episode. All right, guys, if you've been enjoying the show, don't forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And if you want some more goodies, come to readoutingpod.com.